Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I mean, let's get real this morning. I'm not your pastor. I won't always be your pastor. I don't even get a Christmas card when I send you one. So this sentimental brand of stuff is baloney. It's absolute baloney. So we try to worship, we try to pray, we try to praise, we try to do all these things we think are our service gifts to God. And God says, you know something, if you don't get that right, I don't want anything that you've got to offer me. Because it's all phony baloney. That's what Jesus taught. Do we want this cleansing? I come into a cleansing. I didn't start this. Y'all started this. You got led by the Spirit before I got here. So don't blame it on me. I come in here and about wanting to be clean. Hallelujah. Oh, Shila Mari Koroboho Sandara Masite. Mandara Mari Tikionde Sala Tida Mone. Malakito Roborosata Tite. Brasiando Roboke. Nitaramoke. Shelamanin Tedabasiki. Nishola Marite. Yea, by my spirit within you, saith the Lord. By my spirit within you, you can do all things. By my spirit within you, you can do the things that in your flesh you can never do. Yea, saith God, by my spirit within you, if you will to obey me, if you have a deep desire to obey me in all things, if you will repent of your own sins, saith God, of disobedience, I will give you the power to obey. Yea, saith God, if I can melt your heart by my love, I can mold your life by my word. So let me melt you so I can mold you. Let me heal you so I can help you. Says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Wow. That is a message. You can't take of this blood and this broken body and not let me love through you, saith the Lord. You can't drink this. You can't eat this. It can't become just ritual. It can't be routine. You can't partake of what my sacrifice has provided and refuse to give it to others as freely as I gave it to you. Wow. Let's join our hearts and our hands. Let's pray. You know, I've been in a lot of communions, and we go through it. We go through it. The reason communion got into the shape it was when Paul had to correct it, because they didn't wait for one another. They didn't discern the Lord's body. They didn't understand his body wasn't just that body on the tree. There's the people to the right and left of them. They didn't understand the spiritual body of Christ either, let alone his physical body on the cross and what that meant. They lost appreciation for that. And when their heart wasn't melted anymore by what he did at the cross, guess what? They didn't even wait for one another to commune. Amen? It wasn't a community thing. It was just a personal thing. And it just denigrated into just a time of bringing your own food and feeding your own face. And that's what a lot of church services denigrate into. Amen? It's me and it's mine. And when it gets into that stage, then the heart is no longer discerning the Lord's broken body on the tree. It's not melted in love anymore. for him. Therefore, there isn't that kind of love for anyone else. And we get into earthly wisdom instead of the wisdom that comes from above. That's based on love, divine agape love. That's why it's pure, it's peaceable, it's easy to be entreated. That means, boy, it's looking for a way to resolve circumstances. Can you say amen? Love is quick to forgive. The Bible said of it, it's not easily offended. Wow. I was in service in a Sunday school, men's Sunday school class with a man with a Muslim background, taking a critical look at the Christian faith. And particularly in our Holy Spirit-filled movement, he wanted to know, why is it that so many Spirit-filled Christians, the ones who have the capacity, you know, he didn't put it in those terms, I know what he said, oh, have that awesome capacity to be all that we can be and do all that God wants us to do because we're empowered, because we're filled. Why is it that there's so much infighting? Why is it that there's so much? Because, you know, you've been around Christians long enough, you pick that up. Why is it there? Why does it exist under those conditions? If your God is the true God and you're filled with His Holy Spirit, why do these conditions exist? And I had to answer him honestly and concisely. I couldn't tell him they don't exist because they do. I had to tell him because we have not matured in the love of Jesus Christ, plain and simple. Doesn't mean we're not Christian. Doesn't mean God's word isn't true or God isn't the true God. It means that we can't represent him like he needs to be and should be represented. Hello? Until we begin to do better in that area. So I was apologetic to this man hunting reasons to deny the Christian faith. You know what Gandhi said? He said, if it were not for Christians, I may consider becoming a Christian. That's an amazing thing for a man serving a false god who loved the people. He chose a way of nonviolence. Hello? Don't hurt. Don't hit. Don't seek revenge. Let them trample you. If they trample enough of us, maybe the world will look on and change will come. But we're not going to retaliate. We're going to stand. Amen. See this? It's this cauldron there. You feel it? It's right on underneath the surface. It dwells right underneath the surface of our emotional man. And it's not out. It's seething. So it doesn't come in peace. Can you say amen? It doesn't come in love. God's not going to correct us with a broomstick across our back. No. He just wants to get our hearts back.
Yes,
melted before him. Yes. Can you say amen? And then we can be molded by the word. Yes. And we can walk it out in our life. I pastored for 30 years. That's a long time. And I haven't left the ministry. And I haven't got bitter. However, I don't believe words anymore that people say to me. They have little or no value to me at all. Because I've heard it all down through the years. But it's only what I see in action that I believe. So are you saying, Brother Bumble, if you tell me that you love me, you're not going to believe me? That's exactly right. I will not believe your words because I've heard them over and over again. 30 years. I believe what you do. I don't believe what you say to me. Love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because if it isn't an act, something we do, it's not true. Whatever we say is not true till we act on it. It's the only thing that gives validity to it. So it can shut down a flow of God that's mighty. It can shut down a mighty anointing. Enough people are unloving and unkind to one another, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When I talk like this, most people are thinking about your pet peeve, your problem with somebody. You're not thinking about your heart reacting to your problem with somebody. It's not the somebody that you need to be focused on that bothered you, somebody that's unloving to you or unkind to you. I'm not thinking about the people. I'm talking about my life, but I'm not thinking about individual people. I'm just telling you that I have got to stay above all of the stuff that Satan would try to stimulate in me to get me down on that level. If I don't, I am no good to you. I'm going to stand up here without the heart that God can melt, and I'm going to stand here without a life that God's Word can mold. Can you say, man? I'm amazed. Until it kicks in by the Spirit, you can't even comprehend it. In a prison, there's a guy that rapes, strangles, mutilates, and kills and mutilates a young woman. And the young woman's parents are Christian. And what do? I still don't get it, because it's not my daughter it happened to, and that kind of grace, this love from God by the Holy Spirit, hasn't kicked in for me.
That's right.
They love this guy. Yeah. And I'm a Christian, and I got the Word sitting in my hand. And there's people that don't love you over some little old something. And there's people that don't love me over some little old something. And this couple is going to the prison where that guy is, and saying to him, after they worked through it, they didn't do this immediately. They went through a process of grieving and anger and hatred, but they yielded their wills at the foot of the cross, and they found something flowing from that cross by the Holy Spirit that superseded tongues, hallelujah, and gave them legitimacy and credibility and superseded the gifts of the Spirit. They found there's a love flowing from that cross for that man that did that to their daughter. So what do? They go to the prison. And I want to say, listen, isn't there a line of debarkation where you say it's okay to stop this grace? It's okay to cut off this forgiveness? Isn't that crossing the line? Surely God don't expect me to love like that. And yet here they go. They go to the prison. They ask for an audience with the man that did that to their beloved daughter. And their hearts are still broken. They'll bear the pain the rest of their life with just enough grace to help them bear it. And what do? They look him in the eye and they say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you. And they tell him of the great love that God has for him. And the moment they do that, they're doing what a man did on a cross when everybody got a sick pleasure in watching him die and said, Father, forgive him. First Christian martyr, what's he do? He's melted by Jesus' love for him. They're stoning him to death and resisting the gospel. What's he do? Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. He told them they were resisting the Holy Spirit. He told them they had hard hearts. He didn't compromise the truth of the gospel, but he didn't compromise the grace of God either. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I still, the only way those people could do that is because the Holy Spirit should have brought in their heart the same kind and quality of love that was flowing from Jesus' cross. Can you say amen? So we're to love one another with what kind of love? The very best religious brand that we can manufacture. We're to love one another with the same love, the Scripture said, wherewith Christ has loved us. Now, the Holy Spirit can cause that kind and quality of love to flow through them to someone that's done that terrible, terrible, heinous crime and sin. You know what? Families, they don't get closure sometimes until they go and watch an execution of some poor victim, and they sit there and they say, I will not be able to sleep at night till I see that man draw his last breath. But the love of God says something else. It says something else.
Amen.
It says something else. If it's not strong enough to touch that man, it is not the love that flowed from that tree. Can you say amen? I'm going to venture to say that we need some improvement in this area. I know I do. I have to pray for God's love to kick in. I don't have it in me. I haven't grown in such character that kind of love just flows naturally from me. That love has to flow supernaturally from us. And we're wanting supernatural gifts to flow from us. We're wanting supernatural utterances to flow from us. But we're suppressing the supernatural love that produces it all. We suppress tongues when it comes. We're quenching the Spirit. we speak in tongues, we're to pray that, and there's no interpreter, pray that we might interpret. We're to covet earnestly the best gifts. And Paul said, but wait a minute. While we're talking about the best, the creme de la creme, I'll show you a more excellent way. I want you to follow after faith, which seems to be the centerpiece of many people's messages today. And I want you to follow after hope. And I want you to follow after charity or agape love, divine love. But the greatest of these is not faith, and it is not hope. It's love. Can you say, man, there are whole movements that's built on faith, and everything is interpreted through the faith window. Amen. But God said, that is not the foundation for it all. Love is the foundation for it all. Can you say, man? And not just any love, or my great attempt at it, but the love of God. There was a couple came to our church, and they quit coming in the early days. No, not the Holy Church of God. This is another church. This is a Miracle Hour House of Prayer, my first pastorate. Hallelujah. And it was a white church, by the way. Amen. Had a name that sounded like it. You know, the Supreme Council of the House of Jacob is the church. But I, you know, this is the Miracle Hour House of Prayer. They had, I know what it was. You know how it got the name? Two sides wanted a different name. It had to be. It had to be. Somebody said, I want to call it the Miracle Hour Church. Somebody said, I want to call it the House of Prayer. And we'll just call it the Miracle Hour House of Prayer. Okay. You know, so I believe some churches wouldn't be happy if you had red carpet on one side and blue on the other. And the people that like the blue carpet will sit on that side, and the people with the red sit on that side. It's almost like weddings. What do you have? The groom's family sit over here, and the bride's family sits over here, and vice versa. But, you know, you go to this, you go to the right. I mean, if we were real on Sunday morning, some church would say, okay, all the people here that like it loud sit over here, and all the people that don't sit over there, because you might as well go ahead and divide up in chairs, because you're going to be divided when the service starts in spirit. So let's just go ahead and show what we really are like. Can you say amen? All of you that like to hear judgment priest, you sit over here. All these people running over here that are under the old covenant. And all you people that want to hear that God has the grace to forgive people and save them, amen, you sit over here, and we'd pair off and we'd separate. Can you say amen? Everybody in here likes, amen, the old country flavor gospel songs, amen, sit over here. And here go the people that like the quartets. And I just love the quartets. And all you people that like it a little more contemporary, sit over here. And here we go. The contemporary people are sitting over here. Well, you might as well to divide up. You divide it in your heart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All you people that like this preacher, sit over here. I'm a Paul. And all the people that love Apollos' preaching, sit over here. Can you imagine that in the early church? Paul said, your flesh. You're walking as men. Can you say amen? You are breaking up with each other to follow Christian leaders. That's a terrible thing. That's a flesh thing. That's not a God thing. And believe me, there's people of Paul and Apollos. Paul said, dear Lord, there's some people that's got a particular ministry. You can tell everything they're going to say is be based on his tapes, his take on the Bible. I don't want you just listen to my tapes. I want you to read that book. Can you say, I want you to get to know that man in that book. Hallelujah. I want you to walk even as he walked. And if you're going to walk as he walked, you've got to find out how he walked. And you can't find it out just by looking at modern day preachers. You've got to look at the man in the book. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he walked. Listen, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Let's get scriptural for a minute. Amen. And be ye followers of God as dear children, and walked in love. You can't follow him unless you let this happen. You can't be his disciple unless we let this happen. Amen. The Bible said that we should be followers. And the word followers in the Greek is the word imitator. It doesn't mean a put-on imitator, but it means an exact duplicator. Be ye imitators of God. This is how God does it, so this is how we do it. That's why the Bible said, when reviled, revile not again. Why? So that you can be the children of your Father. So that you can represent what God is like. Because God is not like religious man. It's religious man. It wasn't political Rome, but religious Israel that put Jesus on the cross. I'm sorry. That's what happened in Scripture. Amen. Pilate said, a pagan said, I find no fault in him. It's the religious crowd that wanted to kill him. Amen. That's where the hate was. That's right. That's where the bitterness was. That's where the angst was against Jesus. It's from man-made, godless representation of religion that is true without any substance in the heart. and except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee, Jesus says you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Hello? You clean up the outside, but inside, that's where he's looking.
Yes, he is.
3,000 ministers just in Baptist alone. I remember when the guy left the First Baptist Church down in Tampa, near the University of Tampa, that big building. I remember when he left, it shocked Tampa. It's a big, prestigious church, been there for years. And I read the guy's story, it was right up in the Tribune about 20 years ago. He walks in, he went to the University of South Florida, stayed a Christian, got a travel trailer, did some traveling. You know, he just took off, said, I'm out of here for a while. He said, I was walking to the pulpit one morning, and I realized halfway to the pulpit, a deacon stopped me to talk to me about a church problem. And he said, I realized I couldn't get from my study to the pulpit without another issue being laid in my lap. And it was, you know how these things develop. And he said, that's it. That's it. He didn't preach. He turned around. He left. He sent him the letter of resignation. He said, how can you walk out of ministry like that? Folks, how can you stay in ministry if you don't believe after a while that God is able to change the heart or the people are letting? How can you stay in ministry? After a while, it is a job, a business, a profession. I think God, he wasn't professional enough to just stick it out. Maybe God can give him a new heart. And maybe God can show him there are actually people that want to change.
Amen.
There are Christians who really want to melt in communion services and be molded. I am far from loving like he loves. I'm far from it. But I know I'm far from it. We had a family, got to hurry, we're going to receive communion. Had a family that came to our church. Fussing, fighting couple, you know, end time marriage, wars and rumors of wars. But they would come to church and get sued. And then they'd lay out of church and get mean again. So they did it so often, you know, and then they would call me when they'd get into these terrible troubles and want me to solve it or resolve it. And so I'd quit them. I quit them. They crossed my line. You know, I just said, that's it. I can't do nothing for these people. So I'm driving down the road in my car, and the Holy Spirit says, go and pray with these people. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. You know how I knew it was the Holy Spirit? Because it sure wasn't mine. Can you say amen? I knew this has got to be God. And because I knew it was God, I knew I needed to obey God. Because I knew that's how God's love works. So I turned my car and I went and I reluctantly, literally, accepted I wanted to obey God. My old flesh was saying, I don't want to even go through this again. I don't want to go through this again. And I knocked on the door prayerfully. Lord, help me. If there's any possible way, because I had given up, help me if there's any possible way of helping these people. Remember the Bible said the man of God must not strive, but be patient. Listen to this. This is what gets you. Instructing those that oppose themselves. You know the people that oppose themselves, who they blame? They blame you and me for their problem. They got a problem with oversensitivity, and they blame us for not being perfect so we don't rub them wrong. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I mean, let's get that straight. If you want to be my friend, you got to deal with my faults. Or you can't be my friend. But there is a friend that loveth at all times. And that's the only time that can be a friend to me. And that's the only kind of friend you need too. Because these other kind ain't really friends. Because they don't love you at all times. They just love you sometimes. Sometimes being when you're doing everything that they feel that you need to do to make them happy. Isn't that what it's all about, making me happy? Isn't that what coming to church is about, is somebody making you happy? Can you say, isn't that what marriage is about, making me happy? Boy, if it is, I'd hate to be hooked up with you. Can you say amen? I mean, it's all about me, Lord. It's all about me. We'd have to change the lyrics to so many Christian songs Can you say amen? It's not about you this morning. I need a blessing. It's not about serving you. It's about getting something from you. Pentecostalism and charismania is notorious for standing long lines to get something for God, but can't find a line to do something for God. Can you say amen? I've already got enough from God to cause me want to do something for Him. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. I don't want your duty without your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he solicits love from him. He melts him by loving him unconditionally. Wow. And this fighting man, quick with the uppercut. This self-willed man. Then with that heart melted, Pamela is able to tell him, when you were young, you were self-willed, strong-willed. You did what you wanted. You went where you would go. When you are older, others will take you where you wouldn't go if you had the choice. But you will give up that choice to glorify me out of love for me. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Thus signifying the death by which he should glorify Jesus. He told him, the day you start out, you forfeit your life. You love me enough to serve me on those terms. That gets rid of all the ego, doesn't it? You come into church, say, you're going to be great, and everybody's going to applaud you. Everybody wants this spotlight. Well, Jesus said, no, you follow me, you die. That's the first stage. You die to self. You give up all right to self. Or you can't follow me. Can you say amen? I'm astounded. Pastors are astonished at how many people are raised in Sunday school, go through communions and baptisms, and a person comes into their life as a non-Christian, and they'll quit God like that to follow that person. And they realize these people have never embraced the cross.
That's right.
Never understood the claims of Christ on their life or appreciated it. Amen. They just go into edifices we call church, and they walk out and live as if Christ doesn't exist, except to save them and help them and financially bless them. Incredible. So I knock on the door. The lady came to the door. And I had prayed before knocking. And the Spirit of the Lord began to do it supernaturally. And I know it was Him, because this was not me. You'll get frustrated, agitated, impatient. God's love is long-suffering. It suffereth long. Longer than you will. Your love has limits. God's love doesn't. When the line is drawn, it's when man's heart's hardened to him. Not when God quits loving man. God never says, I've called you 115 times. I'm not calling you anymore. When he gives up on someone and gives them over like he does, it's because their heart has so closed. Nothing he will ever do is going to change it. So he has no choice. He always chooses to save. Can you say amen? God always chooses to forgive the lost that come to him. Amen? And it come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's a love without limits. Say a love without limits. Praise God. The only way I can love you like he loved you is to have a love for you that doesn't have limits. Because if I put limits on, it's not his. That's why the forgiveness is unlimited. Because love is not limited. But religious flesh has done a number on this. We can't even show the world this love. And what drove me into a backslidden condition after a genuine experience with God? A wonderful, powerful, born-again experience at 12 years old. You know what drove me? Number one is the temptation that the world offered me was drawing me anyway. And then I saw with my own eyes what Christians did to one another where we attended church. And I justified going after those sins because I saw in the people that should have been mentoring me, should have been examples to me, I saw the unloving, unkind, hateful things they did to one another. And I said, all of this talking in tongues and all of this singing of psalms and singing of hymns doesn't mean nothing. It's hypocritical. At least the guys I'm hanging with, they're lost, they're sinners, but they're real. They're what they are. I want to be real. And I'm not coming to God if I can't be real. And if it isn't real, then I don't want it. And the devil lied to me and twisted me up. Then my mom and dad divorced. And I didn't have Nintendo and I didn't have a lot of toys. You know, my life was in my mom and dad. My dad would go to get my mom from work and I would sit and look through a screen door at US 92 and watch the car lights praying. Oh, I hope nothing happens to my mom and daddy. Because my life and my world was my mom and my daddy. I'm an only child. And that was it. I didn't have a lot of friends. It was mom and daddy coming home. And when I found out mom and daddy are so mean to one another, and my world just fell apart. That's when the leather jacket, the motorcycle, the new persona came on me. That's when I had if you push my button, I would fly off into a rage. That's when it happened. And you know what would have changed all that love? You know what Napoleon's problem was? He was a short-statured man. Put down most of his life. He had a complex. He had a bad self-image. You know what? If people ain't with a bad self-image, you can't love nobody. Everybody got to pour into you. God wants to change your self-image. God wants to love you from the cross. Amen. To where you don't demand so much of others because you got so much from Him. Yeah. Can you say amen? Amen. You got so much to Him, you quit demanding so much of others. And you start saying, where can I flow? For this man who I love so much. Amen? Napoleon went out and just about took over the world trying to say, hey, look at me. And in his prison, he said, I have conquered most of the world. And now no one, except in the history books, remembers my name. I have used force and violence to try to subdue the world and no one even remembers me. But a carpenter, he said from his prison cell, a carpenter. After his defeat at Waterloo, he said, a carpenter, a Jewish carpenter by the name of Jesus Christ came and peace and love, and the whole world knows his name today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. A little man with a little mustache, short of stature, with a political ideology, who wasn't an educated man at all, had to make a mark for himself. He knew nothing of the love of God. His name was Adolf Hitler. He just about carried it out, except God stopped him. He had to prove, I am the man. It's something good about God's love in your life. You quit trying to prove yourself. You don't need people, amen, to affirm you like you used to, because God has affirmed you. Christ has affirmed you from the cross. Hallelujah. And that self-image that's been so damaged because of sin and all the bad things that has touched your life, Jesus says, I love you with an everlasting love. And He puts you in a place of honor. Hallelujah. You can be seated while we're serving communion. We're going to do this different. The offering and the pastor's offering is at the end of this. I'm sure you're I don't have to make a big press. God is going to take care of this. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be broken again. If I had ministered the message this morning, it would be called Broken and Poured Out. A vivid portrait of the incredible love of God. What does the world see when it sees us in our unguarded moments? By this shall all men know, whether they acknowledge, whether they come to Christ or not, Jesus said, they'll know. They'll know. They'll know that you are my disciples. What was it, Antioch? The first place that Christians were given the title. They said, these people are Christ-like. These people walk like Him. If we're going to follow God, the Bible said, if we're going to be imitators of God, we need to walk even as he walked. And the next verse says, and he walked in love. Can you say amen? You can't walk this thing out. You can't just substitute holiness for love. You can't substitute faith for love. You can't substitute gifts for love. There's no substitute. No righteous work that can be substituted for love. If we're going to walk as he walked, we've got to walk in love. So I walked in that room, and the love of God that Corrie Ten Boom talked about, that when she willed and sought him for, came by the Spirit, the supernatural stuff. I hear about these people going to these prisons. I'm taken back. I said, I couldn't do that. As much as I preached on love, I couldn't do it. I couldn't just do it. I couldn't just say, hey, you strangled, cut up, raped, and killed my daughter. But God loves you, and I've forgiven you. And he wants you to know that he's willing to forgive you and save you. Send Billy Graham. It's not his daughter. Send somebody else. Send some prison chaplain with the call. I'm not called to that. Surely God doesn't expect anything as radical and drastic as that. So here this couple goes. It's the only way to get through it. They either got to let his love flow to them and through them, or they're not going to get through it. They're going to get mad at God. They're going to get bitter in their heart. They're not ever going to represent Jesus in any semblance again. They're going to take vengeance. There's a difference between vengeance and justice. Did the guy die? Yeah, they put him to death. But he died with a witness. And if he received Christ, he died with a testimony. How many people would come to church to hear an ex-mafia hitman tell of his radical, dramatic conversion to Christianity? Sure you would. There's a guy out there testifying of his past life in the mafia. Said he could pay, in Full Gospel Businessmen's, I believe it was, when he first began his testimony. He got saved in a double-wide trailer used for a church. That's my kind of man. That means we could have him here. We're not in a trailer anymore, if anyone's hearing this tape. But praise God, we were looking at one before we came here. He said, I went to a church that nobody wouldn't have thought much of. He said, a friend of mine that I saw something in that I did not possess. He said, I saw peace in him. I didn't have it. I saw love in him, and I couldn't find it. He said, I could hire a woman to spend the night with me, but I couldn't find a woman that wanted to give her life to me. He said, I could pay $10,000 a night for a presidential suite in a hotel in New York City. $10,000 a night. But I couldn't buy a peaceful sleep. And this man had it. And he got him to go to church. And he said, I went to a church that was in a double-wide mobile home. And I heard what Jesus had promised. And I said, do you mean that Jesus could forgive me? I've killed people for money. I'm the lowest of the low that there is. I've lived my life selfishly for my own immediate pleasure, with no thought of God or who I hurt. I've lived it for the money, the power, and the pleasure. Totally sensual, totally given over. You know why it's quiet here today? Because we know that without the love of God in our life, it's a charade. Church is a facade. You get inside of it and you see that it's not representative of that kingdom. And that's got to change if we ever hope to reach this world. And that's got to change if we ever hope to see a true revival. That's got to change to get the bitterness out of our hearts. That's got to change to get the grudges. Because it's not about your enemies or mine today. It's not about the people who've wronged us. It's about our heart reaction to them. Can you say amen? It's about saying, I refuse. I refuse anymore to let my flesh and my emotions govern my actions. I want the Lordship of Jesus. And I want it because I love Him and respect Him and revere Him. And because I've received something from Him that I can deny no other human being. I have received mercy and grace from Jesus. He has been gracious to me. You realize when you cried out for your sins forgiven, there wasn't one meritorial thing about you to cause Him to feel any obligation at all to forgive you your sin. can just say, man, do you understand that clearly today? Is it very clear to you that by grace you were saved? Amen. That it wasn't your decision to be good that caused him to forfeit your sins. It was his decision to come seeking you while you were bad. You couldn't even come unless the Father drawed you. And the Bible said, go in the highway and hedge and compel them to come in. You know what the most compelling thing is about the gospel of Jesus Christ? He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And I got acquainted with something I was preaching but not able to practice because it's done by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It can only be done by the Spirit of God. I went into that room with that man and that woman, and when I said, is your husband here? I need to talk to you. And I knew what they thought. They thought I was going to get on to them. They thought I was going to point my finger at them. They thought, and you know, because they thought, oh, the preacher's here. We ain't been to church in 6 weeks and he's here. Amen. He's here to, you know, lay it on us. You know, God's going to get you. You need to be in church. And all that was true. But the problem was God wanted to love them. God wanted to show the unlimited, unconditional quality of His love in spite of themselves. Then if they don't respond, amen, they've had a witness of something so powerful and so strong. If anything is going to change people, it's going to be the love of God. Amen. I've seen people make these fear trips to the altar. They don't last. They don't last. They do not ever last because they don't reciprocate in love. Amen. Only love will hold you to Christ. Only love will put Him in a place that is so supreme that no one else in your life will be more important to you than He is. Only love for Him and from Him can fulfill you. Listen, he that feareth is not perfected in love. For perfect love casts out all fear. Can you say amen? The kind of love that God has loved you with is not the kind of love that we try to love each other with. It's a love that only comes through the divine channels. It has to come in you as it's shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? That's why Jesus on the tree cried, Father, forgive. That's why the first Christian man being stoned. Now Paul would look out with you, people with emotional scars. Here's what he would say to you, because you're reacting with bitterness. He would say, you haven't resisted unto blood. I'm forgiving after they beat my back to the point of almost dying and going into shock. 5 times they laid the cat on me, and I forgave. I pray for them. What did he pray for the Jews that treated him so bad and wanted to kill him? He said, I wish that I, instead of asking God to curse them, he said, if it were possible for me to be anathema, for my brethren to be saved, I would take it. I can't. Only Christ can. But if it were possible for me to take the curse to get them delivered from it, Paul said, I would take the curse. No wonder when he left, they fell upon him and they kissed him. Because they knew they would see his face no more when he was getting ready to be martyred. And he told them, you know, it's almost my time. And when he left, they fell upon him and they kissed him. You know why? Because they had been loved, Sister Venable. They hadn't just been preached at or preached to. They hadn't just been sold a bunch of tapes by some know-it-all that, amen, looked down and spoke to everybody in a condescending way. They had been loved by a man who had been melted by Jesus Christ and molded by His Word. Hallelujah. And he walked it out in his life because he got up from that experience and prayed for the people that had done him so and continued to preach the love of Jesus and the powerful love of Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, I was stoned 3 times. One of those occasions, the Scripture says, he was left for dead. They stoned him until he wasn't breathing or moving. Now, whether he was dead or he was so near dead, they thought he was dead. We don't know if God raised him or if he just recovered. But the Bible said after that stoning, he wasn't off somewhere cursing them and damning them and asking God to destroy them. He was found in another city preaching the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news that though you're a sinner and though you blaspheme His name and you've done despite His will and you don't deserve anything but His wrath, He loves you and sent His Son to die for you. That's what Paul preached after they did him that way. Hallelujah. No wonder they fell upon him, Sister Venable, and kissed him. Because in Paul's character, have you ever Have you ever, when the Spirit of God comes on you and reveals the body of Christ to you, the true body of Christ upon the earth, which is your brother and sister, have you ever, my wife put it so well the other day, you hug a fellow Christian under the anointing, not just with the sentimentality, but under the anointing, and you feel like you're actually hugging Christ because you know Christ lives in them. And when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. Max Lucado pastors a prominent church and he's a prominent author. Find his name in Christian bookstores and all kinds of books. He said in their church, a 7 foot tall NBA basketball star came to visit them. And he said it was quite a sight to see this 7 foot tall in a tailored suit, of course. You can't get this off the rack at Walmart. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just 7 foot tall. He comes walking in, double-breasted suit. He sits down and said, at the end of the service, at the beginning they thronged him until, you know, he had to call it to order, you know, to get the service going. And at the end of the service, they thronged him again. You know, how are you? Welcome. We're glad to see you. You know, I was just, wow. And he said, the very next service, a guy came in with torn jeans. He came in. And he said, I was watching this from the platform. He came in with a faded T-shirt. Said he was well-groomed, clearly had taken a bath, very reverent, not out of order, not some drunk that wandered in off the street wanting, you know, to cry in his beer, but somebody really coming from those streets to hear about Jesus, doing his best. He walks in and he sits down, and no one, and no one made a move to say, welcome to our church. It's amazing what the church brand of love becomes. If you're great, we'll be gracious. But if you're not, don't expect anything. Max said, I sat there on my platform and I watched. And he said, to my wonderful surprise, one of my deacons got up in his tailored suit, and he walked over to the man. He said he took him by the hand and he hugged him.
Yes.
And he welcomed him.
Oh, yes.
To the congregation of worshipers. And he says, those other people touched a celebrity that morning. But he said, my head deacon touched Christ that morning. Because when you've done it unto these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it looks awful good to have just the yuppie crowd and the business people and the people, amen, that sit so wonderfully, amen, and are decked out in their beautiful array, amen. But it's something when the love of God kicks in. Because the love of God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. God is concerned about the soul. The soul of that basketball star and the soul of that man in the faded T-shirt. God says they're of extreme value to me. Can you say amen? The rich man in his palatial, amen, penthouse with chandeliers and gold, 14-karat gold-plated faucets. God says, I love that man and I want to save him. And the poor man in his shanty town down in South America. God says, I'm just as interested in saving his soul. Amen. The cross is the great leveler. Hallelujah. Puts all men in the same category of lostness, but gives all men the same opportunity to be saved and to be loved by God. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's the grandest work of the Spirit. Is not to give you a gift or cause you to speak in tongues, but to begin to develop in you and me the character and nature of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't hear me. Come on, Pentecostal. Can you agree with me that the grandest work? Have you seen tongue-talking people that could get ugly? So have I. Wouldn't it be better if they had to choose by being more like Jesus or talking in tongues? If I had to give up one or the other, I choose to be more like Christ.
Amen.
I can win souls without talking in tongues.
Amen.
But I can't really touch them without being more like Jesus. Because I can't represent the kingdom. I can represent the power of the kingdom. but I can't represent the person of the kingdom. And you're not saved by the power. You're saved by the person. Can you say amen? God, John said, I didn't see power to save flowing from the throne when I got into the heavenly New Jerusalem. I didn't see power flowing from that throne to save as a result of the cross. I saw a lamb with its throat cut with blood on its wool. Can you say amen? Come on. I saw a lamb with its throat cut. I saw a lamb as it had been slain. Can you say amen? He said, what I saw standing beside that throne, Jesus appearing as the Redeemer, the sacrifice lamb. He said, I saw a lamb with its throat cut, with blood all over its wool. And I, oh, hallelujah. That's what melted John, because Jesus gave himself as a lamb, hallelujah, and a sacrifice. And he gave himself for that man with the torn jeans and the faded t-shirt that came in with a reverent, seeking heart. And he said, there's no church too big, amen, hallelujah, to not tell that man God loves you, hallelujah, as much as he loves the NBA star. I believe there's a church like that here. I believe if the man came in the double-vested suit, you'd tell him God loves him. The businessman. And I believe if the man came in the t-shirt, you'd say, God loves you. Amen. Can you say amen? Yeah. I believe God is showing us this truth. Our problem is once you see this, it turns you off when you don't see it. Not because you're judging, but because you just know that's not it. That's not where it's at. Thank God Max Licata, yeah, with all of his allocate, understands where it's at. He said, this is the real ministry. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not the respect of person stuff. This is the real grace of God flowing. Amen. Folks, I would encourage you this morning in this communion to let God's love melt you so that the Word of God can mold us. Be ye followers of God as what is dear children, as obedient children. That's what He's looking for. Dear children are those children that say, I respect and reverence, amen, my authority figures enough that I want to do the right thing. Be ye followers of God as what, dear children, and walk in love even as Christ, who lived a life, the Bible went on to say, that was like a sacrifice before God. It was a sweet-smelling savor. This is he looked at the life of Jesus. He said, that's how all men should seek to be. It's like this man is. And he says, it's a sweet-smelling savor unto me. He said it another way. John saw it another way. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Can you say amen? In other words, look at Him. Listen to Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know what we need to do? We need to get our eyes off of each other. I heard it's about the status quo, a preacher I'm beginning to really enjoy, preaching on holiness and just in a marvelous way. And he said, what's wrong with the church today? He said, we're out in the water, and we're looking at all the other boats, all the other churches and denominations and people in the church world. And we're out looking at the other boats. And guess what? We're in proximity. That's what the status quo is. We're in proximity to all the other vessels. So we're okay. We're still in proximity to all the other vessels. So the problem is we're looking at the other boats. We're not looking at how far we've all drifted from the shore. He said we shouldn't be looking at the people around us. We should be looking at Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the point of reference.
Yes.
Not that preacher on television. Not this preacher in this pulpit. We should be portraying Him better. But ultimately Christ is the point of reference.
Yes.
We shouldn't be satisfied unless we're becoming more like Him, because God isn't satisfied until we become more like Him. And we should walk even as He walked. Hello? In 30 years, I found out that tongues are meaningless without love, because love is what holds you together, not tongues. We both speak in tongues, we'll never quit each other. Baloney. You both speak in tongues means you have the capacity for the love that will bind you together no matter what. But unless the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, the tongues become what? When the pressures are sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. So we can't use it to prove our spirituality or our Christ-likeness anymore. Amen. It was never meant for that.
In fact, every gift was to be for the building up of the body of Christ. And there's personal edification, but it's not at the expense of others. It's never let me get my blessing at the expense of someone else. Love prefers the brethren. It takes away the competitive stuff. Says it's okay if you use him this morning. I was all geared up too. I was sitting already. But it's okay if you use him today. Because the idea isn't who you use, but what you do for the body. Can you say amen? Love says, I don't compete here. I'm not here to compete. There's some people reluctant to flow because you want it to be God. I respect that. I don't want you to ever disobey God, but I want it to be God. Amen? Without love, what happened to the church at Corinth? Filled with the Spirit, with valid gifts that Paul never questioned the gifts were real or the tongues were real. He just said without love, they lose their meaning, lose their relevance. It's so wonderful hearing somebody start to give a message, somebody else will, and somebody will defer immediately. That's how he said it ought to be. It's okay. So that person's got it, I back up. Now, don't everybody back up because nobody will bring it. Can you say amen? But when love kicks in, it's okay. Changes everything. Qualifies everything. We're off this Saturday, and it is an unusual thing. We've been working so hard. And I worked with a temporary young woman from Thailand, but it's not. It's Cambodia. And she's a little short lady. 31 years old, real short, not that short. Well, she's this short. She honestly is. She's this short. And her name is Pak, P-O-K, Pak. And I can't say the last name, but I got the first name. Her name is Pak. And in her culture, really, women basically serve the men. They're really servant class people in that culture. So she was kind of taken back when I said, Saturday. I'm going to be off Saturday, Pak. She said, you are? I said, yes, I am. I said, and Saturday, my wife gets to sleep in while I make biscuits. And she said,
frozen biscuits.
Frozen biscuits. I don't mean the Pillsbury kind. Listen, there's some biscuits called Mrs. B's.
Mary B's.
Hey, you know about them biscuits? Nobody can tell them kind of frozen. Them just like Mama used to make. Mary B's. I'll make a commercial for Mary B's. They're good buttermilk biscuits, boy. Buttermilk biscuits are off limits till Saturday. But Saturday we eat the fat and drink the sweet. Hallelujah. Amen. And my wife wants me to fix scrambled eggs and buttermilk biscuits and hot coffee and fresh orange juice. And I told her what I was going to do for my wife. And she says, you're going to do that? I said, yes. She said, instead of saying, well, oh, you're the man, she should be doing... No, no, no. She said, you must love her a lot. And I said, I do. Then I got to kind of witness to her about, you know, our lasting marriage. Because she's a product of divorce. And she said her parents never would dream of that because of their culture. And I said, well, we would never dream of that because of our faith. Can you say, man, it's not an option. We're committed. Amen. And there's a love. And if it kicks in Pamela's heart and it kicks in my heart, amen, it covers a multitude of things that other people would say, boy, I don't know. You know, you say, oh, living with the preacher must be glorious. Listen, the preacher isn't anointed 24/7. Amen. I have my, and you're not either. You give a message on Sunday morning, we might hear another message on Tuesday that don't need interpretation. We don't even go there, do we? We don't want to go there when you're irritated, you're tired, and you're wore out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But isn't God good? What he's saying is, I'm able to pull this off. You can't. I don't expect it out of you. I want you to quit trying. I want you to quit pushing at it. I want you to quit parading it. I don't want you to be ingenuine. The Bible spoke of the unfeigned love of the brethren. That means it wasn't the pretended kind. It wasn't out of pretense. It wasn't put on. It was genuine. It was coming from the Spirit of God within. It's the only genuine love that is biblically defined. Can you say, man? It became the same love that Jesus had when he was dying on the cross. It was in Philip. Praise God. God. Hallelujah. When he was being stoned to death, praise God, he was praying the same intercessory prayer for the people that were doing it. It's shed abroad for that purpose. And when I walked into that room, it kicked in. Hallelujah. It kicked in. It overrode my irritated flesh. It overrode my impatient flesh. And it kicked in. And I walked in that room without compromise and without condemning, without consenting to any wrong or any sin. God can love. The incredible thing about God's love is He can love people without condoning their sin. He can love people without consenting to anything that's wrong. He can still love the sinner without saying it's okay to sin. We think we can't love people. Somehow we're consenting. We are not consensual. We will never consent. Love is never consensual, but it is there and says, if you'll turn to me, I will return to you. Can you say amen? That's the heart of God. That's the message of the gospel. And we got to get the balance. I love people unconditionally at work. I treat everyone the same. I don't hang with them in my social relationships. But I treat them with respect and I treat them with love. And they use foul language because that's the kind of people they are. They use the same language I used before I became a Christian. Amen. And God loved me. Amen. And drew me.
Oh, yes.
So I can only assume that there's a kind of love that will, as Dottie Rambo so aptly put it in prose and song, said, I will forever turn my eyes to Calvary, where Jesus died for me. Because He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the kind of love that God loves. So when they both come to stand before me, I put my arms out like that. She was taller than me. She bent down and put her head here. And he took his head and he put it here. And I just wept over them. And then I prayed for them. Some people never change their pattern, even with God's love. But I'm telling you, if that don't change you, no preacher shaking his finger at you is going to get a lasting change in your life. If there's going to be a change, the love of Jesus Christ is going to make the change. Because if He can melt the heart, He can mold you through His Word. Can you say amen? But if He doesn't ever melt the heart, the molding is not going to come. We're going to put limits. We're going to say, God says it, but here's as far as I'm going with this. But when God's love's in here, it takes the limits off. It takes the limits off forgiveness. How many times must I forgive? There's got to be a limit. Christ said, as long as you ask, there's no limit.
Amen.
No limit. You ever heard the scripture, yea, they turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel? It's not just the refusal to go in and get the blessing. There's other ways to limit God that are more important than the promised land. There's a promised change. Can you say amen? Sometimes I hold my wife as a husband with my human phileo. There's a word for love. It's a beautiful word. It's not fleshly in the evil sense. It's just what is produced through the human character. It's called phileo. There's a city called the city of brotherly love. It's called Philadelphia. However, there's parts of that city you do not want to be alone at night, just like parts of any big city. But originally, it was a city named for brotherhood, brotherly love, phileo. Philadelphia. Oh, the church that God commends that doesn't have anything bad to say about? Guess which church it was in Asia? The one that didn't have any threat of judgment or any need for deep correction. The one that was promised because they'd kept the word of His patience, that He would keep them from the hour of temptation that's coming to try the inhabitants of the earth. Guess which one it was? The church of Philadelphia. Amen? What was flowing in that church so they could keep the word like that with the right motive? They were keeping the word in Ephesians. But he said, you're about to lose your candlestick. Because of what? Because love isn't in the heart anymore. But this church was keeping the word with that brotherly love and love for God and love for one another. And he said, you're keeping the word because you're melted in your heart. Could you say, man? Love is flowing through you to me and love is flowing through you to one another. And I'm going to keep you. I can keep you. You're going to let me keep you because the flesh won't dominate you. And when the flesh goes, I can keep you. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Everybody say brotherly love.
Brotherly love.
Wow. How good and pleasant it is. What keeps us unified? Love that covers a multitude of faults. Not being faultless. That can't unify us. I guarantee you, if I could live with you for 30 days as the invisible man. Oh, no, not as pastor coming to this. Oh, you thought I was going to say, pastor's going to come. We're going to get our act together for 30 days. We can do it. No, as the invisible man. I mean, I won't go to the bathroom or anything, but you know, and I'll stay out of certain areas. But I'll just sit in the living room most of the time. If you come in unclad, I'll go out. But I'll just sit around. In fact, I'll wear a blindfold. I will be the invisible man blindfold. In fact, I don't even have to be there. All I have to do is bug your house.
That's
right. I don't mean just your phone. I mean your whole house. So that every word you say in the house for 30 days, everything, every conversation, everything, it's bugged. Let me ask you something. Let me ask me something. If I knew that people in this church said, we're going to check this preacher out. We'll make sure he's doing right. So let's bug their house. And then we'll play back the tapes and decide if we want to keep him for another year. You know what the Bible said about that? There's an easy way to live with that. Live with your bug. You know what it said? Let no corrupt communication. And I don't have to define corrupt. You know what is, you know, gossip and all this stuff. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that is good to the building up. If it don't build up, he said, just don't say it. Pray it if it needs to be prayed, but don't say it.
Yeah.
You can pray it,
yeah,
but don't say it. Can you say amen? Pray for one another. Pray for your enemy, but don't say it.
Amen.
What would happen? If I knew my house was bugged, praise the Lord. Sister so-and-so called and said she's leaving the church. She's mad at you. Well, bless her heart. Yeah, you'd hear this sound going, turn on the vacuum. Turn up the praise music. That's it, brother. That's it. Yeah, turn up the praise song. We will meet in the golden city in the new Jerusalem. I don't know why they did that. I don't understand it. Turn it up two more dials while I ventilate. Can you say, man? Some people, if we couldn't ventilate, we'd probably explode. Okay. Boom! What happened? They blew up. Amen. They just blew up. You know how we need to ventilate all that stuff? A little simple song. I first became a Christian. Go and tell Jesus all.
Yeah.
Go into the prayer closet and say, boy, they really did me rotten. They're rotten to the core. Can't believe they did. Jesus, help them. Change their heart and help me in my heart. Don't let bitterness get inside of me. Keep me pure and keep me clean. Hallelujah. I want to be like you, Lord, who would revile not again. Hallelujah. You set me an example. I'm trying to walk it. I need supernatural help. The moment we come to that place where we acknowledge our need, and I heard Joseph Stoll talking about small prayer groups. He said people think it can be found in small prayer groups. And if we just get small prayer groups, the big churches can get people to be more intimate and become friends. He's preaching on the subject of finding a friend that will help you succeed spiritually. Everybody needs a friend that is committed to their spiritual success. If I'm committed to your spiritual success, I don't want to bring you down. I want to build you up. I want to try to help you. If you're in need, I want you to call me. Even Alcoholics Anonymous has a buddy. Can you say, man, when you've got the urge to drink, that's not going to holler at you for getting the urge, but it's going to try to help you to overcome the urge and get through it. Can you say, man, you need somebody like that in your life when you get the urge. Not necessarily to drink, but there's other urges that come. Can you say amen? The urge to retaliate, the urge to hold bitterness, the urge to backbite, all of these things. Well, we all get those urges because we all got the flesh. But he was saying some churches think we can kind of sell group out, get these small groups of people. And he kind of blew that theory away. It could work. It's a good ideal. A few people get together, they get intimate with one another, they care about one another. That's what's supposed to happen. But the problem is, just because there's 12 people together don't mean you're going to have a friend like that. That's committed like that. You can get just as judged and condemned by your peers in a small group as you can a big group, unless something happens in hearts to bind us together.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Fact is, you can be put even under more pressure. You go to a church of 5,000 people, nobody knows who you are. They don't know what you've done. They don't know what you're doing. So you just kind of blend. But when you get 10 or 12 intimate people, they know a lot more.
Amen.
Amen? So he said, if man told him, I go to a small prayer group, he said, how short do you have to be? Tongue in cheek. Assuming that if you're in a small city, that's going to solve it all. No, only love will solve it all, small or large city. It doesn't matter. Only love solves it all. Amen? He said, that means you have to be vertically impaired to go to this prayer meeting? And I said, no, there just can't be a whole lot of people there. So that's going to create the intimacy that's going to bring this kind of fellowship and friendship. No, it isn't. A friend loves it all the time. This is not something that 12 people can produce just because they're a small group and they meet together in an intimate setting. Their husbands and wives don't love each other. And they sleep together. They don't forgive each other. In church. They're preachers who have a problem with their wife, but for the sake of the ministry and their income, they portray it. And it finally comes out, somebody commits adultery. Somebody breaks and runs. We just had stuff in the paper here recently of a prominent pastor and wife that every Sunday it looked perfect. Great church, great income, great preachers and teachers and leaders. But then when the truth come out, there was a terrible rift. The love wasn't there. The bond wasn't there. There were two enemies living under a roof, standing and portraying something that wasn't real. That's what God wants to get to the core of. This thing has to get beyond what we portray. It has to be something real in our life. The world is sick to their gut, and Satan is using it against the testimony of Jesus. They're looking for something real out of Christianity. And without love, it's not real. So the heart has to melt. The heart doesn't melt. We can't be molded into the likeness of Jesus. Can't walk. Like he walked. As a lamb dumb before his shears. Here's where your true test comes in. He opened not his mouth. Sister Bimble, I've defended this ministry. I've defended my own decisions, tried to defend my own ministry. I have nothing to say. Not that anything's wrong this morning. I'm just saying it's so good not to have to defend it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So good just to be stripped of that need. When I first went to work and God's moved on my job so wonderfully. So many people have been touched. God's done it. I didn't go there trying to do that. I went wondering what in the world God was doing. I walk in, and for years I'd worked out at the gym, but that's a strength thing, not a stamina thing. I walked into a 10-hour shift, and they put me on a line, a conveyor, and these ice cream is coming down. It bundled into bundles of 8 half-gallons, so that's 4 gallons of frozen ice cream. It's coming in a bundle, and there's a pallet sitting here, a big stack of pallets. You grab it, and you twist around. A few times I hurt my back, and I wrapped up and prayed, and God healed me and helped me, but I threw the pallet down, and I started stacking it. So I'm stacking it. Praying. I was really praying in tongues because I didn't know what I was capable of anymore. It's been years since I've done, manual labor. And I'm stacking these things, and time is going on. And I'm wondering what's God up to. And a man came over to me, and he came up to me, and he said, "I hear you used to be a pastor." I said, "Yeah, I'm still a pastor." I said, "I'm just not a full-time pastor anymore." He said, "Well, you must not have been a very good one." Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's just what I needed to hear today. Now, this is what, and what it is, your own ego, your own pride, you want to say, "Don't you understand? We did mission." Don't you? No, I felt like, it's okay. God has given me the strength and the grace. Today, I just ask Him for strength and grace, not to defend my ministry, but to stack this here pallet. And I know God's given me grace to stack this thing. I've been here 3 hours, and I feel good. So it's okay. You can think of me any way you want to. What I need for the moment, my God has supplied. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't take that away from me by saying you don't respect me or you don't. And He said, because if you were a good one, you'd have still been there. So 2 years went by while this guy not of us to put a saddle on me. Because he rode me. And he rode me. And God blessed me. Amazing thing about it, you keep the right attitude. No matter who's riding you, God will bless you. Yeah. And you know what really eats them up? To see you blessed. Amen. So if you really want to get them, don't let them get to you. Right. Just go ahead and serve God. Amen. The preaching kept going on. People started coming to the Lord. Young men started coming to church with New Testaments in their pocket. Amen. Lunchtime was Bible study without it being official, because wherever I was sitting, they'd come. And a guy would come in and actually attended Carpenter's own church. And he'd come in and he said, "Rev, this scripture here is a puzzlement to me." He said, "I've been puzzled by this." He said, "Can you break it down for me?" So I'd go back there and eat half a sandwich, amen, because I'm too busy breaking it down for it. And I thought, looky here. Here I am out here in the devil jumping up and down on me, telling me what a rotten failure I am. Can you say amen? And God is letting me reach people that I would never reach while standing behind my pulpit. Amen. That means, listen, my Bible said what you put your hand to. It doesn't matter what it is and what it looks like to other people. God said, "I can use it, praise God, if you keep right in your spirit." Amen. And then they begin to come. And to this very day, amen, I'm kind of the unofficial chaplain of Superbrand. Took 2 years, amen, and that same man that rode me so bad and put me down every chance he got, he finally visited us. Now, he may hear this tape. Well, you the man. You'll remember this. Amen. That same man watching these young men. Amen. One guy that's gone now, he's retired from the company. He came back where I was stacking without a uniform on. You understand, it's 34 degrees back here. Amen. And he came back in just a short sleeve shirt, this white uniform we wear, amen, in the filler rooms. And he came back, amen. He's a foreman over the night shift. And he came in, and you remember the story. He said, "Rev, something happened to me. You got to tell me what's happening to me." I said, "Well, if I can, I'm stacking." He's standing back there in the cold. He said, "Rev, I was in bed last night. I was just saying my normal prayer that I do just before I go to sleep." He said, "And something happened." He said, "My mouth started shaking." He said, "I started mumbling." He said, "My wife stood up and said, 'What is wrong with you?'" He said, "I don't know. I don't know." He said, "But it feels good." He said, "God's presence is here. I don't." He said, "Brother Venable, what was happening to me?" I said, "This is that. I'm stacking." I said, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is not some, amen, some kind of Pentecostal out there fringe area out here. This is the direct fulfillment of an ancient prophecy that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit." I said, "You don't have to just seek the Holy Ghost to get the Holy Ghost. All you have to do is seek God with all your heart." Can you say amen? A lot of people got the Holy Ghost without seeking the Holy Ghost. They were just seeking God when He filled them up by His Spirit. Whoop, there it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. So he accepted it. He said, well, I knew it was God. I didn't know what was happening. I said, that's the Holy Ghost with other tongues and with stammering lips. I'll speak to this people. And the Old Testament, a preview. God came on you, sir. Welcome the presence of the Lord in your life. Wow. Out to the dumpster to dump something in the dumpster. And a young woman comes and temporary again. And she says, I was at church this morning, Rev. And I wanted to go to the altar, but I've done so many bad things and I didn't. Now I'm afraid because I resisted that I can't. And I told her, you don't have to be in church.